Lord, I thank you for life after death. I thank you, God, that you've given us the ability to live forever. And Lord, living can be like death if it's not done with quality. So, Lord, you've given us the ability not just to live forever, but to live a quality, abundant life forever through your Son, Jesus Christ. And I thank you for that, God, that whoever believes in you will live for millions and millions and millions of years. And that's just the beginning of a quality life. And I just pray that you use this message, Lord, and you bless those who hunger for you and that want to know you. In your name, Jesus. Amen. So, you know, I've titled this Show Me the Money, and here's the reason why. If you go to Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, it says something very important. It says, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, which is self-control. Against such there is no law. And I'll say, it's the fruit of the Spirit is love, Galatians 5:22. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, which is self-control. Against such there is no law. Now you look at that list right there, and there isn't a person who does not desire ultimately what's on that list. There is not a person that, or there is not a situation that would benefit from having those qualities. There are people who have everything that the world could offer. They can have everything that a person could want and lack joy and lack peace. There are people who are going through very terrible situations and they lack long-suffering and patience. There are people who lack gentleness and they want it. They want goodness. They want to have self-control. They want to have love. They want to be loved and they want to love better. The Holy Spirit is giving us some real power right now in this fruit. And I titled this Show Me the Money because at the end of the day, isn't that what you really want? As you walk with Christ, don't you want power? Don't you want fruit? If you don't have any fruit in your life, what is the value of your Christian walk? We can confess Jesus Christ. We can confess how glorious he is. We can say all those things. But if we have no fruit, if we have no evidence of Christ, if there's no power in our walk, then it's empty. It's vain. It's vain. So in the world, people say, show me the money, right? Because that's the bottom line. Show me the money. And so really what this message is yo, show me the fruit. You know, like show me, let's get down to what this walk is really about. It's about these elements: love, joy, peace, patience, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, self-control. That's what this faith is about. It's about demonstrating the fruits of the Holy Spirit. And so in this message, I want to just discuss the way the Bible says the two ways that you get the fruit of the Spirit. Because that's what this is about. If you're not doing this, then the walk is being done incorrectly. What I mean by that is you want to live your life in such a way, walking in the Holy Spirit, that you're bearing fruit. And if you're not doing this, then the walk is not a walk that is glorifying God by displaying Holy Spirit fruit. Jesus gives two very important ways that we allow fruit, Holy Spirit fruit, to come out of our life. The first is from Luke chapter 11. He is teaching his disciples. He opens up in Luke 11 teaching his disciples to pray. And it's interesting, in Luke 11, it says that they saw Jesus praying and it was the way that he prayed. It says, as he was praying, and it came to pass that as he was praying, in verse 1, in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And I just imagine them looking at him, Jesus, studying how he prays. Just the way he prays passionately. But it leads Jesus to talk about some things that I want to share with you that get into how to be filled with the Holy Spirit in order to bear Holy Spirit fruit. And he says in Luke chapter 11, verse 9, after he tells a parable, which you should check out. But we don't have time. I just want to jump in here to verse 9. He says, "And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened up unto you. For everyone that asks receives." Did you read that? "For everyone that asks receives. And he that seeks finds. And to him that knocks, it shall be opened." Listen to this. "If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks fish, will a fish give him a serpent? Or if he asks a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he asks an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him?" Key. Look at that. We just read in Galatians chapter 5:22 that the fruit of the Holy Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. We just read that. I guess I'm quoting the New King James version of that verse in Galatians 5:22. But we just read that the fruit of the Holy Spirit are those wonderful things. Now, Jesus is teaching his disciples, "You see me praying. Let me tell you what's on my heart. As I pray and I taught you the Lord's Prayer, I taught you the basic elements of prayer, the way to think about God. But here's the heart of what I'm asking. I'm asking for the Holy Spirit. I'm asking to be filled." And this is how we are to get the fruit of the Holy Spirit. This is how we get the money of the Christian walk. Those fruits is to ask God. How often? It says pray without ceasing. We are to continually ask God to be filled with the Holy Spirit to produce this fruit. It is paramount to our walk. We've got to be asking God. And you'll find as you ask God to be filled with the Holy Spirit to survive the hour at work, or to deal with the issue in your family, or to deal with the circumstances hard, you're going to find that you don't pray enough about it. Excuse me. But the way that we get this, very simple. This doesn't have to be an hour and a half long message. It's just so simple. If you want the Holy Spirit, ask. Jesus is promising, look, here's one prayer request you can 100% guarantee, count on, that God will answer. That you receive the Holy Spirit. That you are filled with the Holy Spirit, Christian. If you ask God for him, the Lord will give it to you. And if you're listening to this and you have no idea, you're like, what do you mean, Christian? I don't even know if I'm a Christian. I want to tell you that this is the joy of the Christian life. When you believe in Jesus Christ, that he is the one that is going to clear you of every single sin and mistake that you've made, so that when you exit this life and you stand before God in the next life, you will have not a spot or a stain on you because of Christ's perfect life. That he died on the cross as a sinner. He died on the cross as a person who lived the life of sin, though he did nothing wrong. And he rose again from the dead. No one's ever risen from the dead, ever. No one has ever brought themselves back to life. Jesus rose Lazarus from the dead. He rose a couple of people from the dead. But no one's ever brought themselves back to life. Muhammad has never done that. Buddha's never done that. No one's ever done that. Jesus brought himself back to life to say, "I am who I say that I am." This is the most amazing promise that, number one, not only does heaven and hell really exist, not only is there a permanent place of torture, not only is there a permanent place of peace and love and joy and happiness, but we can only get there by attaching ourselves to Jesus, by surrendering to Him and repenting of our sin. And the resurrection of Jesus, we just celebrated Resurrection Sunday a couple days ago. The resurrection of Jesus Christ demonstrates that Jesus meant what He said, that whoever believes in Me, though they die, shall live forever. And John chapter 11, whoever believes in Me will live forever. Whoever believes in Me will not be condemned. And then He amended by dying on the cross. I know I'm kind of getting off topic, but just check this out. I believe it's in Mark chapter 2. Jesus sees a man who is paralyzed, who has a withered hand. Actually, I believe the man is paralyzed. You know what? I'm butchering it right now. I think it's in Mark chapter 2. Jesus has a phenomenal conversation with the Pharisees because there's a man who has an affliction on him, a physical affliction. I'm pulling there right now. And Jesus goes up to this man and says to him, "Man, you are forgiven." And the Pharisees scowl at him like, "How can this man declare that he's forgiven?" Now, Jesus Christ declares that anyone who believes in Him is forgiven. You know, and some may say, "Well, how can I know that I'm forgiven? How can I know?" And yes, it's Mark chapter 2, it's Mark chapter 2, verse 5. It says, "When Jesus saw their faith, He said unto the sick of the palsy, 'Son, thy sins be forgiven.' But there was a certain man," Mark chapter 2, verse 6, "of the scribes, there were certain scribes, sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, 'Why does this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only?' And immediately when Jesus perceived in His spirit that they reasoned like this, He said to them, 'Why are you guys thinking like this in your hearts?'" Verse 9, He says, "What's easier to say to the sick of the palsy, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Arise and take up thy bed and walk?' But that you may know that the Son of Man, has power on earth to forgive sins, I say unto you, arise and take up thy bed and go thy way into thy house." And immediately he arose, took up the bed and went forth before all of them, insomuch that they were all amazed and glorified God. So there is a man who has his palsy, who was on a bed and cannot move. And Jesus Christ comes and says, "Your sins are forgiven." Now, clearly, no one can say that your sins are forgiven. Jesus is saying, "Look, I know, look, it's hard to say that, right?" He said, "But let me just show you that I mean what I say. I'm also going to show you a follow-up miracle to demonstrate that what I say is what the truth is. Get up and walk." Who can tell someone to get up and walk? He says two hard things. He says, which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven, or to get up and walk? None of them is easier to say. They're both difficult things. It's like He's asking a trick question. You can't just tell somebody that their sins are forgiven, because you're not God. You can't just tell someone who's been paralyzed and can't, from a sickness and can't walk, you can't tell them to get up and walk. However, Jesus says both of those things to demonstrate, look, I am who I say I am. And Christian, the Lord is saying to you, you're saved. And for you who don't believe and you want to believe, the Lord is saying to you, you are cleared of your debt if you just believe in Me, because I rose from the dead. And that's My demonstration of it. But moving on and just closing up, the last way, the first way that Jesus says that we can bear fruit and power in our life is by asking. That's in Luke chapter 11. That's the very first way. That's one of the ways that we can be filled with the Holy Spirit to bear fruit, is by asking. The second way comes in John chapter 15. Very, very simple. In John chapter 15, Jesus says something that's awesome. He says, "I am the true vine, and My Father is the husbandman. Every branch in Me that beareth not fruit, He takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, He purges it, that it may bring forth more fruit." He says in verse 4, "Abide in Me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in Me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in Me," listen, "he that abideth in Me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. I am the vine, John 15:5. This is just simple, simple, just a word. I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abides in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. Look at what the Lord is saying. And it's so simple. But he's saying, if you want to have fruit, Holy Spirit fruit, abide in me. Abide in me, he's saying, Jesus Christ. He's about to die when he's saying this. He's about to be taken captive into custody, interrogated, scourged, nailed to a cross. And he's telling people, abide in me. You can't do anything except by me. I mean, it's like, it's amazing. He's saying, I'm God. I'm going to live. I'm going to rise again. You know, but the way you're going to live your life is by sticking close to me, by following my commandments, by believing and trusting in me with all your hearts, by surrendering yourself to me, by putting me as your number one priority, your number one everything. Abide in me, live in me, move in me. This is how you bear Holy Spirit fruit. You ask God, you ask Jesus, you say, Jesus, you say, I need you to fill me up with the Holy Spirit. You say, Dad, I need you to give me the Holy Spirit and bear fruit in me. Jesus, I believe in you, I trust in you. Just help me, purge me, just make me confess sin to you, cause me to repent, just cause me to walk in a way that's pleasing to you, Lord. Those are the kind of ways you want to pray and ask God to bear this in you, and he'll do it, and you'll have power in your life. It says in John 15, verse 8, herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. A disciple of Jesus Christ is characterized as a person who bears fruit, because somebody who is a disciple of Jesus Christ is following Jesus Christ and they're picking up their cross. Now, every one of us has a cross. It says in Luke 9:24 that we are to pick up our cross daily and we are to follow Jesus Christ. And if you are following Jesus Christ as his disciple and you are picking up your cross, if you're denying yourself and following him, you're abiding in him and you are going to bear fruit. And even that process, you're asking God for help. Even that process is still a process of asking, because we really can't do anything apart from Jesus. And that's Luke 9:23, by the way. It says, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily and follow me. We are to take up our cross and say, Lord, I need help. Lord, with all my circumstances, with all my pain, with all my temptations, with all my frustrations, with all of it, I need you to help me. I need the Holy Spirit. I need you to produce love and joy and peace and patience in me in this hour right now. I need self-control and goodness and gentleness. I need faith, Lord. I need it right now, and he'll do it. You abide in him and you ask him, he will do it. He says, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, even as I kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. He says that in John chapter 15. One of the biggest ways we abide in Jesus Christ, the way, is by believing on him, but keeping his commandments, holding it in high esteem to follow his commandments. And his commandment is to love. So it's just all this beautiful. I just encourage you to go check out John 15. There's only so much time I have in this podcast. But the bottom line is, abide in Jesus Christ. Keep his commandments. Ask the Father for the Holy Spirit. Abide in Jesus Christ. Ask the Father for the Holy Spirit. I'm going to say it again. Abide in Jesus Christ. Ask the Father for the Holy Spirit, and you will have Christian power. You will demonstrate radical Christian power, because it's no longer you. You're saying, Jesus, I'm going to keep your commandments. I'm going to follow. I've set my heart to keep your commandments. Dad, please fill me up with the Holy Spirit. Abba, Father, please cause me to love as Jesus has commanded me to. Please bear joy in me. Please bear faith in me. Please do these things. Lord, I just thank you for your word. I thank you for the simplicity of your word and the ability to share your word. I pray that whoever is listening to this would just be blessed, Lord, and that they would start walking with Holy Spirit power, and that they would really start bearing the fruits that you love to see in your children. So please, Lord, allow me, Lord, and everyone else listening to walk in this power, Jesus. In your name, amen.